Blog Talk Radio.
Out there are going crazy again. So if your call is getting dropped and you're getting lost in the blog fog, be persistent and call back in. We just had one and it went bye-bye into the stratosphere. But what I wanted to take a minute to tell everyone is there's a great thing going on for all of us psychics in these shows. We're getting voted into a directory, the top 50 psychics in the world. So if you would do us a favor and go out there and vote for all of your favorites, both shows, if you listen to both. The people in line for the votes are Jethro Smith, his son Ryan Smith, Kelly Coulter, my wonderful co-host today, Also, Sandra Green, my co-host on the other show, Psychic Learning Connections, our wonderful psychics, Aurora Rose, Mystic Celeste, Amy Cavanaugh, and Pamela Cummins. And I hope I didn't leave anyone out there, but be sure to get over there and vote for everyone, because we really need a little bit of steam behind us. So, you know, the more people we can reach, the more people that know we're out here, you know, the better these shows are going to go, because they're going to be funded and supported. And I wanted to say, too, that we're looking at different ways of funding the shows, which we will announce to you at a later time. Jethro has expanded. He's moving. The show that used to be Living in the Psychic Realm here is now Living in the Psychic Realm over on A1R Psychic Radio. And he's on Tuesday nights, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific. And you can find that by searching Ask One Radio. And it will take you into a player. And if you miss any of his shows, you can always check the archives, because just like here, they're archived. And also, I wanted to tell you that Lou A. Vendetti has come up with a great social site for not just the hosts and the guests, but all of the fans and listeners as well. So be sure to go in and sign up. You can chat live with people or leave messages. And it's psychicsgonewild.spruz, spruz.com. So be sure to get over there and join in on all the fun and all the chat and meet new people. Kelly, did you want to tell a little bit about your OrganoGold coffee?
Oh, sure. Golly, this has been last couple of weeks have been moving and cleaning weeks and so on and so forth. But yes, indeedy. For those of you out there, it's like who have asked and requested samples, it's like I'm still working on getting those. And let's see, OrganoGold Healthy Coffee. I know that... and tea and hot chocolate. Jethro is doing a special this month. He will still honor those people who would like to try it for $30.50 to buy a box from him. He will do a 30-minute reading with you. If somebody decides they would like to join the company, it's only $49.95, and he will do a 45-minute reading with someone, which if you check his website at that www.jethrosmith.net and see what his normal prices are, you realize you're getting a really good deal, because not only do you get the healthy beverages products, you also get a reading with him, and it's phenomenal. It's really good. It will help animals. If you can get cats to drink it, it does them good. If you can get your dogs to drink it, the teas. We currently have a person here in the small Idaho town I'm at that they had an old German Shepherd, and he was blind. And in 7 days, she says she's had him on this. She makes tea for him. She uses that one tea bag, boils it on the stove in 2 quarts of water, and has been pouring it on his food. And he started drinking and eating. And what ended up happening was, she said in about a week, they could tell he was getting some sight, because he could see, they figured, about a foot in front of himself, because he wasn't running into so many things. And I haven't gotten back with her. It's been about another week or so, and I know they've been busy and they've gone camping and stuff, but I was eager to hear how the rest of it was going, because she'd also said that he'd started walking better. So I know it works on the animals too, as well as the humans, and it just does amazing things to the body. It oxygenates your blood, detoxifies your blood, and restores your pH balance. So anyway, that's what I got to say about that.
I'll bet that dog's out running around and playing at camping. That's why you haven't heard they're busy chasing after him.
Something like that, I'm thinking. Yeah, she was real happy because he was an older dog, and they've got 4 boys. And, you know, she just said everybody was, you know, kind of sad thinking they might have to be putting down. She says, nope, it kind of gave him a new lease on life. So that's the kind of stuff we like to hear. It's like definitely, and, you know, if it helps the critters who, you know, have no preconceived notions, you know, like us humans do, you know, there's an actual physical change taking place in the body, which is awesome to see.
Oh, it is. And as long as you're contacting Jethro or Kelly about that wonderful coffee, don't forget that Kay and Jethro Smith are also the authors of Living in the Psychic Realm, which the show is named for, a great coming-out story about Jethro's growing up in a world where he knew he was unique, he had abilities, and what he went through with all of that. Those are available at Amazon and also Hastings Bookstore. You can find those online at gohastings.com. and he will be doing some more book signings. He's today actually setting some more up, and I just can't believe how busy the guy has been. But he's going to definitely be getting back with you on that. Just contact him through his Facebook page or the website, www.jethrosmith.net. Find out, too, what all of the wonderful surprises we have in store for this show. We're talking about having a raffle where you can win some really good prizes, readings, coffee, my CDs. So, you know, stay with us. Hit that follow button up there on your player screen and make sure you keep up with all the upcoming episodes and, you know, get with us about any suggestions you might have. Email us if you want to hear some type of specific thing on any of our shows, a topic. So Amy will be joining us in a little bit. She got delayed, but we're looking at seeing her in about 15 more minutes. So you got your birth cards ready, Kelly?
I do.
Oh, you do.
Okay. We got a couple callers in queue, so
yes,
we're
we
doing
do.
Good today.
And I think we're going to get to those right now.
All right.
Area code 661, you're on with Kelly and Linda. Area code 661.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hi, my name is Hannah.
Pardon me?
Hello. I said, hello, my name is Hannah.
Oh, hi, Hannah.
Hannah.
Hi. Yes. Hannah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, great. What can we do for you, Hannah?
Well, I don't know how it works, but I was just hoping any message that you have for me. I'm quite curious.
Alrighty. In my case, I need your month, day, and year of your birth. And in Linda's case, she will dial into your
angel.
Yeah,
I'm dialing now. It's an overseas call, it feels like.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is.
Okay, so can I get your birthday?
Sure. I think there's a little bit of a delay when I talk, but my birth is 3 October.
October 3rd. Okay, of 78. What's the year? 78. Wow. You're a young chick. Man,
yes,
that graphic.
Oh,
77. I'm feeling old now.
What I'm actually seeing for you, Hannah, it looks very pleasant. What I'm seeing is a fairly large house on a large acreage. And I don't know if this was a place that your ancestors lived, your either grandparents or great-grandparents, but seeing a very lush lawn and dogs running about and children playing. And the feeling I'm getting, the feeling I'm getting from this is such a peaceful, wonderful, like you're at peace with who you are. And that's kind of what they're showing me. And they're telling me that you are in the right direction for what you want to do in life. And you're moving forward in a great, positive light. This is just a beautiful scene I'm getting here.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could send it to you. It's just wonderful.
Very cool. And what I thought
nice. Make sense to you, Hannah?
Not at this moment, but it sounds very positive, and that's really great to hear.
Okay. What I've got for her at the moment here is her birth card is a 6 of diamonds, and her planetary ruler is a 10 of hearts. The 6 of diamonds person is called the card of financial responsibility. The number 6 implies responsibility and karma. The suit of diamonds relates to finances. 6 of diamonds people are really keenly aware of financial debts and their repayment, and that particular trait often manifests as really sort of an intensity about having outstanding debts. For an example, like a 6 of diamonds person might pay their phone or utility bills like ahead of time just so they don't have to think about what they might owe in the future, and that's really kind of a common trait in the 6s, both genders. Like all 6s, you receive exactly what you give to others, And during this lifetime, there can be both huge financial losses and gains as your past life accounts are kind of settled. As individuals, you seem to fall into two categories. There's always a high side and a low side. There's the people who go out of their way to repay their debts and even, you know, pay things in advance. Or there's, on the flip side, is people who go avoidant. So it's like, I'm thinking usually the people who call into our shows are really working on the high side of things, because you're really, you know, working on your karma, working on being spiritually aware. Okay, let's see. And then sometimes debts might be owed to you from, you know, from other people. But regardless of the situation, we can be sure that a Six of Diamonds person is, you know, you're getting exactly what you are entitled to. You might fall into a slump sometimes as a result of some inertia, so occasionally you need to kind of prod yourself into action. Once you get going, you can really attain most anything you want to. There is protection for you in work and action, not waiting for the lottery. On a deeper level, that Six of Diamonds person can be here to help others come to greater understanding of values. If you accept what you receive inwardly through your natural intuition, you're always going to be happy regardless of the circumstances in your life. If you've discovered your special mission in life, you won't worry about how much money you have. You make great teachers. You're a giver. You can be entrusted with great responsibility. What you have to give is a clear knowledge of higher values and that discrimination and ability to make better personal choices. You're what's called the keepers of the law. Under relationships, all diamonds kind of have this. They have that tough exterior of that diamond, but with the Six of person lies a person who is having sometimes a difficult time meeting your need for affection. Sometimes there's deep fears of abandonment that underlie much of what you do in personal relationships. And until you really address those fears and deal with them directly, you can have a really hard time understanding the repeated failures sometimes that make up a love life. You've got a highly mental approach to love, and it can lead you to think you can set up your love life like you'd set up a college curriculum. So when your brilliant romantic schemes are kind of subtly driven by fears, they backfire. You got to first learn to give yourself the affection you seek from others. You know, that kind of from the Bible, what Christ told us was, you know, you love God first, but you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's like you give that love to, you know, you got to love yourself first and say, I am worthwhile, I am lovable. And it's like, and then you're going to find those people who see you in that way too. They're going to mirror that back. Honesty about your own feelings and emotions can bring you information you need to make better assessments of relationship difficulties. And you really need to practice being honest with yourself and others and not fall into what they call creatively talking yourself in and out of situations while avoiding your true feelings. So really, you need to work on making that heart connection. The Six of Diamonds karmic pattern usually involves at least, you know, one breakup of a major relationship, which gives you that transformative moment in your life, and it teaches you about yourself. And then it can be like that phoenix, you know, that falls in the ashes, you know, because consumed in their own fire and then rises again. It's like a very, very much a transformation. Okay, and where you're at in that planetary ruler with that Ten of Hearts, that, you know, tens are really, you know, you've got good socialness there. It encourages you to be more of a social person. You're probably attracted to activities that involve groups of people. You might even have a profession that puts you in front of groups of people or children in some way. I've seen people, you know, who are like librarians, you know, the story hour and these kind of things. You're usually going to be happiest when you have, you know, your, quote, ten hearts around you, whether it's friends or family. That card also accentuates your mental quickness and gives you a somewhat ambitious nature. Success with friends, associations, and any work that puts you in front of the public eye is assured. Is that kind of ringing true? Is that kind of where you're at?
Yeah, that's a lot of it. You've said so much information, so I'm trying to process it all. But there's a lot of it that's... there's a lot of it that's quite true. If I look at relationships, fear of abandonment, and I've had a huge breakup that transformed me completely. And wow. I actually wanted to ask. I also teach at a university. I'm a lecturer, so I'm teaching in front of people. And I
awesome.
Love planning training people. So not only university, but corporate level as well. I'm really good at, if I say so myself, doing that. And I really like
you
it
are.
As well. And I have
agree.
A little bit of a rough exterior. I do have a little bit of a diamond exterior. and I still need to love myself. I'm not there yet. And it's actually, I wanted to ask a question in the beginning, but I'm glad I didn't, because my question was actually about my love life. And I've met somebody really, really great, and I'm learning to love myself as I go along, because I'm trying to see myself, you know, through his eyes. And it is a big transformation that is happening. But I do have that fear of abandonment. And I don't know if you pick up anything on this person, but we did get great images as well of dogs and house and kids.
And kids and a happy and open space. That was definitely what they were showing me. You know, a married couple with children and animals and like picnics on the acreage, and it really felt wonderful. That doesn't mean necessarily you're going to live on an acreage. It just means it's going to have that feel to you, that openness, that airiness.
Yeah, it's funny you say dogs, because he really doesn't want dogs or like dogs, but I'm an extreme nature lover. So I'm the person that's been planting the seed as I go along, saying, "Well, if you have me, you have to have animals." He's like, "Oh, good."
Hey, you could change his mind. I mean, he may have had a bad experience
with dogs.
Oh, I'm busy
working.
And you find the right ones, and they fall in love with him, and he falls in love with them, and
groaning.
Yeah.
One thing I do have picking up here. It's like this is your 33 year. You haven't turned 34 yet, so we're still working on year 33. Your long range card for year 33 was the Jack of Diamonds, so it was about it was about finances. But what I find really interesting is after your birthday this year, your long range card is the Queen of Hearts, which is a marriage card. So I would say that. That's going to be your focus for the coming year. You've got a lot of hearts in your 34th year coming up. Right now where you're at in your Pluto time, you've got a nine of spades there, and nines are about completions. What I can tell you here is, from like now until you have your birthday, but that influence can bring either illness or accident related to water, drugs, alcohol, or traveling. It could be disappointment related to a trip or distant affairs. There's possibility of hidden illness or disappointment is present, but any association with travel, if you have drugs or alcohol involved, is going to be very disappointing. But it can represent a great fulfillment if you're involved in helping others in humanitarian kind of work, or I'd say, where you're teaching at university, it's like, you're going to have some positive things come there. And it's entirely possible a long-time cherished dream or occupation of yours could come to an end or be lost. During that time period, it's like, begin is just that Neptune time period for this time frame. It just could have been something that you've been worrying about losing from time to time this year, but if so, don't be afraid or disappointed. That ending was actually the best thing for you and everyone else in your life. You just kind of, open it, let it go, and many new and better things are going to come to replace it. But what I really see coming up for you is just, it may have been as a result of, the finances, something was happening with finances, but your coming year after your birthday, and for that next year, because your individual year goes from your birthday of 1 year to your birthday, that's your personal year. I would say that your Queen of Hearts, that marriage card, is really going to be the focus, and it just looks like you've got a lot of good cards coming there in the romance department. So I'd say, for what I'm getting, I would say definitely yes. It looks like a very positive relationship for you.
Okay, that's great. I am also just wanting to confirm that I'm wanting to change occupations. I've not really looked for anything else, but I have my own dreams. It's going very slowly because I'm so busy at the moment with the job, but I do want to change, make a change in that department as well in the future. So,
okay. One of the things I can tell you real quick is, have you, and I know she's, I think she's an Australian author, but it's Rhonda Byrne, and she wrote this book called The Secret, and she's also written a follow-up book called The Power. But she's got a DVD out there, and it's called The Secret. If you haven't read the book or taken a look at that, do get that, because in there, the movie in particular, they have a lot of the presenters. They talk about vision boards. They talk about, writing letters. And it's about, getting your emotions involved, really and truly, and kind of writing that letter to the universe or letter to God and saying, here's how I see my life. It's like, and here's what I'd like. And you can, what they call, put that put that vibe out to the universe of manifesting the perfect job that you'd like to go into. So kind of sit down, get really clear on what your goal is and what you'd really like to do. And, you know, it's like imagine yourself in it, imagine yourself doing what you're doing, and write that as though it's already happened. Because it's Mike Dooley, one of the presenters there, says, you know, thoughts become things. When you change your mind, you know, your internal world changes. Your external world will change to accommodate that. So kind of take a look at that and see what you, you know, see if that makes sense to you.
Okay, great. We'll do.
I see a direction for you in as far as teaching spirituality, metaphysics.
Yeah, it does really interest me. I've actually talked to my boyfriend about that as well. He's not that spiritual himself, but he's very open. And he wants me to pursue different things. And I myself have also started talking and just thinking about that direction as well, because I'm very passionate about certain issues. And the more passionate you are, the even better speaker you become, I believe, right?
Right.
But,
excuse me. And I feel he's going to be very supportive to you.
He is already. He's. I must say, we haven't been together that long. I've given him quite a hard time, poor guy, because of, like you said, the love and abandonment issues, and not just, I don't know, fear of letting somebody in because I've been hurt tremendously in the past, or it felt for me, you know, bad, and everybody's got baggage. He's very patient. He's very loving. And he's still sticking around. And I'm letting go.
Let go of the baggage and let him come in. It's like, it sounds like you found an awesome guy. I don't suppose you happened to know his birthday?
Oh, his birthday, yes. It's the 28th of May, 1980. Okay.
1980. Aha, and you got a young guy too. Cool.
Guys, yeah.
Okay, so he's a Gemini, and he's also, he is a 7 of clubs, 5 of diamonds. Okay. Oh, I see where you're going with that. Okay, 7 of clubs, 5 of diamonds. What I can tell you right there is his planetary ruler being the 5 of diamonds, you guys, and your birth card being the 6 of diamonds, you guys have what's called a moon connection, which is really amazing and awesome. It's like it's one of the things that predicts longevity in a relationship, because you guys just have really, you know, really good positive connections with each other. What it also tells me is that with you being the higher card in the suit, with you being the 6, you kind of play that sun position in your relationship, and he kind of plays the moon position, so it means you're kind of the leader in that relationship, you know, and he's kind of the, you know, the follower and supporter, if you will. So, you know, kind of wherever, which direction you lead, it's like he's kind of sort of willing to follow you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny you say, in a way, I know what you mean. He is very much a man. He's type of a leader in itself, but he's very supportive. So he I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Good.
I'm not telling him what to do. I'm not saying he jumps, you know, he says how high. He's not, absolutely not like that. But
it's
different.
Yeah.
He's wanting
like
he's
willing to be your rock to lean on.
Yeah. Yes, he supports me. Yeah, he.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. that's what I mean. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Exactly. That's cool. That
is
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you get that nice, airy place going with all the kids and the dogs running in front of it, invite us over for some tea.
Okay.
At the very least, call us back and let us know how things go, because I like to know the follow-up stories with these. I like to see how accurate these are, because this is what I do is kind of more like probabilities. It's more like a mathematical, you know, probability type thing. But it's like, it's just amazing, amazing how good math really is.
Well, I'll let you know in a few months' time, see where we're at now. And yeah, I'd love to.
It was nice to meet you.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really nice to meet you too. It's very interesting.
And call us back or Skype in or check us out on the computer. It's like, you know, because sometimes those long-distance calls can be really heck on the phone bill, but it's like we're on the computer internet too. So it's like if you have that, check us out there.
Yeah, I've got Skype, no worries. It's quite cheap. So. Thank you so much.
Very cool. You bet. Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Have a nice day. Bye.
You too. Bye. All righty. Patiently waiting for over 10 minutes. Area code 347. You're on with Linda and Kelly.
Hi, I'm Chad.
Hi, Chad. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm not sure if I ever talked to you before, but I'm good. I'm doing good right now. Good. Yeah. This morning I had thought I had won the lotto. I was going crazy.
Oh, you wow. I know. It's you're doing fine. You really are.
Yeah.
Just got to hang in there. Got to hang tough, right?
I've been focused. It's not, I've been doing something that I really don't like doing, but it's getting me to a better place, I feel like. Like, I'm not chilling with my friends that much, and I'm not going out doing nothing bad. I take care of people. I'm a nurse, so I'm taking care of people now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Like, the question I wanted to ask you, this is, I should have asked this a long time ago, but, like, like 4 years ago or 3 years ago, there was this girl, and she said that she was pregnant, and she had my kid or whatever. I wanted to find out if that was my kid or not. I'm not sure if you guys could do that.
Sometimes they don't give us those answers because they want you to pursue that information on your own. Have you asked her to take a paternity test?
She don't want me to be a part of it. Like, she don't want me to see the kid or anything. Like, before it was like she was getting at me, and she was cursing me out, talking about this and that. And now it's like she don't be nothing a part of me. Like, she don't want to have anything a part of me.
Hmm.
Wow.
Because what I'm thinking in this situation is if she's trying to nail you for this one, but yet she doesn't want you to have anything to do with it, but she's wanting the money or the support out of you without, you know, using it, hanging this over your head. I would insist that if you want to pursue this,
if it's his child, it's like he's definitely got parental rights, and it's like especially if she wants support, you need to get in there and go for that DNA test because you have a right. If this is your child, you have a right to be part of that child's life.
Yeah, that's the same thing I feel. That's how I feel. Do you see anything with my career life or love life, anything coming soon or any big change in my life where career-wise or anything?
Right now what I see is that you might be combining something else into your career, that you're caring for people now that can't do for themselves. But I think you're going to combine that spiritual aspect into it by counseling them.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, how does that, I don't understand how that's going to work, because I don't fully understand the spiritual part of it, because I've been trying to, like, talk to my sister really about the spiritual stuff, and it's not really working. She's like, oh, it's paganism and all kind of stuff, like.
Well, you need to get involved in spiritual groups, either online or try looking for meet-up groups in the area where you live. You can meet these people and they will, direct you the way you need to go as far as learning and gaining in your own abilities. Because you do have abilities. I can feel that. But you can counseling people. You can sense spirit around you. Maybe you're not communicating with them, but you know when spirit is there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you just need to fine-tune these abilities, and being around people like-minded that are interested in the same thing will help you do that.
Do you know how I would communicate with the spirit? Like, how would I be able to communicate with them?
I would advise starting with meditation. Asking them to put thoughts in your mind, give you visions, say words to you, give you physical signs, like maybe you'd hear something on the TV or a radio that would make sense to you and what it meant and who it was coming from. Sometimes they give us aromas.
Like, sometimes I would hear them talking to me. Like I could hear them talking, but I can't really, you know, talk back or see them talking, or I just hear them giving me words like, stop going into this, stop trying to figure out what's going on. Like I just hear words like stop, like what are you doing? Type stuff.
Well, they are talking to you and you can talk to them back either out loud or think it at them. And they do hear you. They can hear us way better than we can hear them sometimes. But yeah, keep talking back and forth and set your intention.
Okay. I have one more question. Do you know who I'm talking like? Do you know the spirits that's watching over me? Or the...
Yeah, your guardian angels.
Yeah, my guardian. Like, who are my guardian angels? Like, who are they? I know one of them is one of my family.
Your aunt?
My aunt? Why everybody keeps saying that? What's her name? My aunt, Aunt Dar? No.
I'm getting the name. I don't know if it was her real name or a nickname, but I'm getting Maddie, like M-A-T-T-I-E.
Maddie? I don't know. Nah, I don't know any Maddie.
Maybe it's Natty, Natalie.
Natty. I know, like, my grandpa was Wilfred Drummond, and then the other, I have an aunt that died. She was Grandma Dar. But I don't know any Maddie or anything.
Well, it could be someone you haven't met in life. A lot of times, people that cross over before we're born become our guides.
Oh, okay. So, do I have any messages from them or anything? Or
just keep listening. Just keep talking to them and get in tune with other people that are like yourself, that are interested in the spirituality.
That's cool. Yeah. And love life, you see anybody coming in your life?
Your love life will come after you get settled in who you are.
With my spirituality, you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, once you're comfortable with who you are and you're around people that you're comfortable with talking about these things, then you will free up a lot of things to allow that special one into your life.
Okay.
And actually, you'll probably meet them that way. Is through these groups.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I asked somebody the same thing, and they told me the same exact thing you're telling me. So go find a group and, you know, get a counselor, and you'll meet somebody within this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're still saying that.
Yeah. But it's like my family, they go against all of that stuff, so it's kind of hard for me to do all of that.
Oh, I understand, but find some time for yourself and, you know, see what you can come up with as far as who you can meet and get together with. This is really good for you. Because right now you're sort of out on an island, and we don't want you out on an island. We want you on shore.
Yeah. I have another question, like, my reincarnation, like, is he still alive, or does he live within me, or is it like a spirit? Like, what is it?
Have a part of ourselves that always stays on the other side. It's called our higher self. That always stays. Each time part of us comes down and lives in a body, that stays, and you can also get in contact with your higher self, too.
Kind of think
of it like silly putty. You know, it's all in one glob, and that's where it is on the other side. But when you stretch it, then that's when part of you comes down into the physical. And then when it's time for the physical to be done, it goes back into that little glob, back into that little plastic egg. And it's all together. That's one way to look at it.
Okay. So it's like I could talk to my reincarnation and figure out stuff like that.
If you ask, they can tell you in your dreams who you were in another life.
Yeah.
Other than that, I would say go to a reputable past life regressionist, because a lot of times our past lives give us the skills that we need in the current lifetime to do what we need to do.
Yeah. Do you know the name of my past life or no? I'm over here asking so much questions.
I don't know, but it's possible that this Maddie or Natty is part of that. I can't say for sure.
I knew it was a monk. Like, they told me that it was a monk. That was my reincarnation.
Oh, you too? I wonder if we were in the same monastery together.
What's that monastery? What's that?
That's where the monks live, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was in China.
And I was where? I think I was in China, too.
Hey, I bet we were in the same monastery.
Yeah.
Be interesting to find out. Well, Chaz, it's been wonderful talking to you. We've got some other callers here we need to get to.
Thanks. You've been real good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Now we're going to go to area code 843. You're on with Linda and Kelly.
Oh, hi. It's Amy. I'm sorry.
I didn't recognize the number.
Oh, the number. Yay. Of course it's another number because I go through phones like people go through chewing gum. Anyway, this morning until 2 o'clock, until 2 o'clock, I was doing a presentation for my other job, my tax attorney job. But it was really interesting. I was picking up a lot of the last caller's energies. And I too sense that he has enormous healing properties over and above his medical education is one thing, and healing properties is another. And just from personal experience of being a patient and a caregiver and now a hospice volunteer, I know there's great difference between the two. And those that have both are very, very special. So I encouraged him. I got a strong message for him to seek out opportunities to get Reiki certified, because it is a true life force of and so many times, it's so funny, when I first got involved in all these things and the answer to everything was meditation, is there's got to be another answer, because meditation is boring and time consuming and I don't much care for it. But the thing about Reiki is that because you actually sense the energy and you feel it, and you can feel it intensify as your meditation practices, you become more disciplined in your meditation practices, sort of like you get a payoff for the meditation. I know so many people who are on this path struggle with meditation because it's just so unlike how we live so much of our day. But I would encourage him. And Reiki is one of those things. There's many people, everyone has healing energies, but Reiki is one of those things that is passed on from master to teacher. And I think that being a part of something is a helpful component of Reiki. What I'm saying here is that you don't have to be there's Christian people who lay on hands. There's a million different, and they have certain rules with respect to their traditions and teachings, as does Reiki. And there's some people who have healing energy who are not a member of any church or have not been atoned with the Reiki. But I find the one single thing that really helps people onto a path of disciplined meditation is to become Reiki certified. So I wanted to. And then the opportunities for healing, I feel strongly that as he just continues to grow on his spiritual path and becomes comfort when it becomes a part of him as opposed to just an interest of his, he'll be able to better communicate with family members, because there are a lot of family members who don't understand it. And in all honesty, there are a lot of people out there practicing these things that I would be concerned if my loved one was associating with them as well. With everything, there's positive energy and negative energy, but the more you incorporate this and more this becomes part of your belief system and not just something that you're interested in, you'll be better able to communicate these things to your family members using words that resonate to their belief system. So no longer will they think that you're stepping away from your church of origin or violating or, you know, doing something that is against what they believe. Because one of the things that's really important to me is that regardless of how much I see so many people trying to run away from their religion of origin, and I have a wonderful story about this. A friend of mine had a friend, and she had breast cancer, and she thought that she had converted to Hinduism. She thought she was Hindu. Well, she had breast cancer, and she died, and my friend was a caregiver to her and lifelong friend, and she also doesn't like her childhood religion. She thinks it has too many rules, so she much prefers the Eastern ones and ones that have more woo-woo and different smelling incense. And the people where Caroline Mice calls religion a costume party. And to a large extent, that's so. But anyway, to get to the point here, because it's a beautiful story. after her friend passed, she went to Lily Dell, which is a psychic community, to get a reading and contact her friend who was on the other side. And much to my friend, the living friend's dismay, the deceased woman was having a very, very Catholic afterlife. She's very happy. She was reunited with her family, but it was clearly an afterlife that had the accoutrements of the Catholic religion. Well, my friend, nice living surprise. Friend, was outraged. No, she's Hindu. I'm sorry, I'm still in a hotel from where I spoke. I shouldn't say that. So, like, she's Hindu. You must have the wrong number. You know, people, it's just like, no, blah, blah, blah. And she would continue and, you know, providing, it was a very talented reader, so she was providing sufficient identifying information that there was indeed no misdial. So this is a real important message to me. Well, for one thing, I now have sort of a joke, tongue-in-cheek thing, that I don't think Catholicism is a religion anymore. I believe it's a race, and that's okay. And I also think that because our forefathers and our ancestors become a part of our DNA and our past lives become a part of our DNA, that for those of us who just slough off our religion of origin because we think we've outgrown it or it's too unsophisticated for our sophisticated selves, it's really a part of it, and we need to, while there might be things we disagree with and there might be things that we see being done by man in the name of that particular faith that are of concern to us, that's fine. I think we should certainly be a voice for justice, and certainly if we see people that are being endangered or exploited by people in the name of a religion, we need to be vocal. But I really think all of us need to, I was speaking to myself, I'm not telling everyone what to do, have more respect from whence we came, because it's in us. It's in us, and to try to build bridges between our new ideas and belief systems and the ideas and belief systems of our ancestors. Because right now I see so much arguing about, you know, this back and forth, and then, you know, the Bible's turned into a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
People are arguing whether there's a, you know, and I see some people who are supposedly so spiritually evolved saying some of the most inhuman things about, you know, certain presidential candidates that might not see the world with the same set of eyes. But the end of my rant is we need to build bridges. We need to build bridges between us and others, but we need to also build bridges within ourselves between our old ideas and our new ideas. That's how they become beliefs, and they just don't become flights of fancy and shiny, sparkly things that capture our attention for a moment or two.
You know,
One
of the things I always said when people ask, you know, about how many religions there are in the world, and I said, well, 6 billion and something, and I'm not exactly sure how many plus, because each and every person has their own beliefs and perception, and if you want to get technical, we each have our very own unique religion. We just need to learn how to get along with everyone and be patient and understanding with each other.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful, I love it. I love that. I love that, because, and for many people, there is a difference, there's a strong difference between religion and spirituality. Everyone has spirituality because everyone has a spirit. You have spirituality whether you seek out a thought system or not. Atheists have spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. You know, we are spirit having a physical experience.
It blogged us. It's like we lost 203, and it looks like we lost Amy there, too. It's like we had a blog moment.
Oh, Amy, come back. I'm reaching out for you through the blog fog.
The blog fog. Oh, golly. Well, actually, I was going to have you elucidate a little bit more. It's like... we were talking ley lines the other day, and it's like, I know you said that first of all, for people who don't know, you know, it's like, should anybody in chat who does not know what ley lines are, it's like, you know, raise your hand, but as I understand it, ley lines are those, they're kind of like called energy connectors in the earth, that they,
right.
They kind of, energy connectors kind of like, has to do with the magnetism of a planet.
Right. It's the electromagnetic energy lines. I'd like to think of it as the nervous system of the planet, which the planet is a living being, just like we are.
Right.
And these energy lines, just like any nervous system, they accept input and they react on what they are receiving. And this is why it's so important that we use positive thoughts, because this is actually, our thoughts are things. They are vibrations. These vibrations mix with these ley lines, the energy, and feed it back to Mother Earth. And when you get a huge amount of negativity going on the planet, it's sort of like a disease to her. It's like a mental illness. And she's going to do what she can to try to overcome that, to heal herself. And this is a lot of the cataclysms that we're having now, volcanoes,
right.
Earthquakes, tsunamis. She's trying to heal herself. But if we can all continue to put more positive into it, then she won't need to do so much to try to heal, because the healing process will be natural.
Right, exactly. And I know you said that the ley lines, that you said, I heard the term 50 miles wide, but like, they're not all, because I always thought of them as like, you know, like laser line shooting. It's like, you know, when you said, no, they're wider than that, I was like going, but are they all like 50 miles wide, or are some of them like, you know, maybe a band like, you know, maybe a mile wide, or it's like, is that a consistent, you know, what you call formula, or is that, just kind of general? Are there kind of wider ones and skinnier ones?
It's general. I mean, they're wider at areas like the pyramids or Glastonbury mounds,
okay.
Places where they've been anchored strongly.
Right. Okay.
and I see that they can probably continue to get wider and wider the more we put into them.
Uh-huh.
Tissue
okay.
building for planet Earth.
Right, okay. And that's, we kind of also touched on, let's see, I'm seeing Spell and James over here. WSKI, there we go. Jim Ruskin, Sunday. I'm trying to go on through, and also Dina Flanagan, sorry. Sitting here and spelling all the names of everybody they can vote for here on our shows. Let me think here. And in correlation with that Mayan calendar, I was gonna double check. It's like, because you said it was like 25,940 years. Is that right? Instead of the 26,000 that they commonly throw out.
25,920.
Oh, 920. Whoops.
So you,
okay,
you might
I'm off there.
Think of it as 26,000. It's close enough.
You know, and I'm thinking that's what they did, but it's like, it makes a difference in time calculations, especially in stuff like this, because, you know, 80 years off is 80 years off, and it's like, if the Mayans had calculated that out, it's like, instead of coming out at, 2012, we'd, add another 80 years of that, and it's like, that would be actually the year 2092, so for us,
well,
in this lifetime.
Right, but for our personal purposes, we're calling it 26,000. Just
right.
So that people can relate to it more easily.
Right. And then there's people like me who go, no, it's exactly this. Because it makes a year, and everybody's, kind of thinking, wow, it's like, the Earth is going to end. Hey, Amy's back. The Earth is going to end here, on December 21st. Like, no, I don't think so. It's just the end of the, if you want to call it, the grand solar cycle year, something like
that.
Yeah,
the grand
circuit.
Right,
the grand circuit. And then, the next day, December 22nd of 2012, it starts over again for another 25,920 years. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to have this, like Hollywood has depicted this grand cataclysmic moment. It's like, because I look at the Bible where it says, God said when he founded it, the earth is going to be made to, stand to time indefinite, even forever. I'm like going, forever is a long time.
Yeah.
And it has no beginning and no end there. Well, it has a beginning, but it's like, it has no end out there. So I'm thinking, no, whatever's going to go on. It's like, I don't think he had a plan to end our planet and our planetary life.
Absolutely not. I mean, we need to continue in our experiences. There are going to be a lot of people that aren't ready for the zero point. They're going to still be living in the lower consciousness. They need some more time to get out of that and, realize who they are. And
zero
Jesse's
point.
Back with us.
Yeah, Amy, let's just say Amy came back.
Amy.
Yeah, I'm back. I must have needed to hear what I had to say because I don't even know what the last thing you heard, but I was done with my rant, and it was time for everyone to say, yes, that is so smart, and I wish I said that, and it was just dead silence because I just have this weird phone thing. It just is crazy. I wish I could just find an old-school phone that you plugged in the wall that required less energy.
That required
less energy because the energetic field, my energetic fields are just wacky. But anyway, good to be back. I don't know what the last thing I heard. I don't think I could. I don't think I could say everything I said again. It was like the Emancipation Proclamation, but I must have needed to hear it.
Well, it kind of ties into what you were talking about because we were talking about the 25,920-year circuit through our galaxy with our solar system and how we're approaching zero point, December 21st, the Mayan calendar, and how all of those people that choose not to accept their spiritual... Oh, no, not again.
Yeah, I think she does. I think she needs to go get one of those, whatever, like she said, plug that sucker into the wall. Wow.
Okay. We're gonna try this again. I'm going to have to just put an anchor hook through your belt there, girl, and just hold you on that way.
Are you sure you got back on quicker there? That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me crazy.
Wow. So anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think some of these. I know there's an author out there, this Maura Timms talked about, beyond prophecies and predictions. And she brought in, she took a whole, montage and collage of different authors. I mean, she had stuff from Nostradamus. She had stuff from Edgar Cayce. She had stuff from Bible. She had stuff from Atlantis. She had stuff from, all over the place. The Mayan calendar, she included that. And it's like, what are the expectations? I mean, obviously we're not going to have the Hollywood, you know, oh my goodness, everything is going to go down in a cataclysm moment. But what I do know is that if we, you know, big if we have this polar shift that, you know, science has talked about, that they expect, you know, something along the line of, you know, 300-mile-an-hour winds. But they also said that they figured that the polarity, you know, would roll over and shift in only like 2 or 3 hours. It would take like a really short amount of time for that initial shift to happen. And it might take, you know, like a week or so for the continents and the oceans and things to quit, you know, sloshing around. But, you know, how does this impact us, you know, as humans? It's like, you know, or can we change some of that? You know, by conscious living, by, you know, some of that. It's like, what can we actually do?
We're already changing it.
Excellent.
It's not going to be nearly as bad as what they predicted 2,000 years ago.
Oh, that's nice. Yay.
Yeah,
because we've risen in consciousness? Yay. This is good to know. It's like, because I personally don't have anything that, you know, I mean, besides the hole in the ground, there's not a lot that would stand a 300-mile-an-hour wind, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, this is why the military has built all their underground installations, and just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get me. Ha-ha. But they do. The military, I mean, the governments have prepared by, you know, by building all these underground facilities, and from people who have gotten, I'll say, out of it, and they get beyond their, you know, whatever, 5-year security clearance moment. It's like, you know, they said they have miles of underground, you know, tunnels and stuff, and they can drive jeeps in them, and it's like they have whole underground cities down by, one of them's down by SAC, down by what they call SAC, down by Oklahoma. There's another one in that Cheyenne Mountain or whatever over in Wyoming. It's like, you know, they've got several, quote, strategic points throughout the globe where they've actually, you know, done these underground cities, underground facilities and that kind of stuff. So, and there's places, I think, where in the heck was it? It's someplace in Europe. It's like, I want to say, it's either like Russia or one of the Scandinavian countries or something like that where they are actually not hoarding, that's not the right word, but it's like they're preserving what they call heritage seeds. Yeah, I know. If common people do it, we're called hoarders. It's like if the government does it, it's called preparation. That moment of moneyness where they say, you know, people who have money, they're called eclectic, and the rest of us who don't, we're called kind of crazy. Different label.
Yeah,
we are the creators. You know, we can make our own outcome if we all work together at it.
Yeah. That's right. See, and Greg Braden, oh, 0 point. That's what I was going to ask you about, because I've heard that. I know Greg Braden talks about it, and I never really have read about his, what they call that 0 point. That's, you know, it's like a reset point or something. Now, I've heard of 0 point therapy. In fact, I have what they call an energy pin that is what's called, is based on the 0 point reset. And for us as a human organism, in terms of health and healing, it resets our DNA so that we produce, you know, when our cells reproduce, they reproduce more perfectly. So it's kind of like, I hate to say an anti-aging pin, but it's like, it's more of a youthfulness pin, if you will. It's like, and it does, it looks like a ballpoint pen. I carry one in one pocket and one in the other. So I'm trying to get healthy and young, you know, anyway. But what is that 0 point stuff that they talk about? Because I really haven't had the opportunity to read about it.
Well, the 0 point is nothing more than that set point that we come around. We've gone through the 25,920 years, and we're coming back to zero. Just like you were talking about eternity, no beginning, no end. It's
right.
A circle.
Okay.
All circle. And because we've chosen to live our life on physical planets, then we have to follow this thing around with us. We don't have to go around circles once we're, you know, in light body or spirit form. But because we've agreed to these experiences on this physical world, then we have to follow the pattern. And I call it the birth seed.
Okay.
It's sort of recycling.
Okay, there we go. Renew, reuse, recycle, reduce.
Amy, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I think that there's a lot of people who are really disappointed because they thought that their end of the Mayan calendar, rapture, apocalypse, whatever, was going to not, we weren't going to, you know, our eternal life wasn't going to, we weren't going to have any more eternal life in a body. And there has been so much, and I think it's a really big letdown for people, because I think that people think that,
whoops. Did she mute herself? No, she's, oh, yep, it dropped her again.
Oh, no,
doggone,
no.
Peace.
Amy's thought real quick, you know, it is a letdown to some people because they were hoping for, you know, eternal life in the absolute wonderful, get her back on here.
You got
absolute
her back on.
Wonderful, no more pain, no more sickness thing.
Oh, this is crazy. My phone. Okay. This was happening last Friday night. I have to get an old school phone because my phone started dialing people. It just called somebody.
It started dialing people all on its own, man.
It just dials people. And it's not even like the top person on the list. This person was in the case. It's just, you know, and there's just Annie.
Amy, there's a clue. Who do they want you to talk to? Come on now, walk with them.
But the people that it called, seriously, our last Friday night show, I really believe it brought some, Jethro picked up on it too, that some evil or negative evil, more of a judgment, some energies that were unwanted are trying to weasel their way in. But what I was saying before I called Mr. K is that I think people are looking forward to being out of their bodies because I think everyone thinks that being spirit, dead, whatever you want to call it, is like really easy, and it's not. It's just not that much different. So there's been enough people that have raised the awareness energy of the plan of, you know, so that this, ascension, so many different words, ascension, you know, this zero point, the rapture, all these things. Again, they're just, they are just a matter of, semantics,
antics with semantics.
antics with semantics, exactly. But I do sense that people are fearful, and I sense that for all of us that do have a little bit of a greater understanding of these things, just because our lives have, our assignments just played out the way that we got this information, got the memo a little bit before the rest, that we really need to be out there educating and assuring people that things are going to be okay. But there are going to be changes. People ask me about it all the time, and they think it's so, you know, and I tell people we are going to need to live in a more sustainable manner. You know, you should think of things that you will be able to barter. You should probably have some extra water. You should probably keep your gas tank in your car full if you can, kind of preparing as you would for a hurricane for those who live by the water, or a Mormon if you were a Mormon or something like that. Everything. We're not going to have this snap of the finger world anymore, which is going to be, it's going away for some people, not because of the planetary shift, but because the economic shifts and all the precursors to it. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's exciting new opportunities, but we need to be encouraging to people. We need to encourage people that it's not going to be scary. And we don't have a choice. We have to go forward, you know, But that's one thing that I really noticed is a lot of people are looking forward to the rapture. That is a big cop-out. Like, oh, I'm gone. Now I don't have to work on my assignment. My homework isn't due anymore because, the rapture came. So I think that's the, the big thing. And I think that what I see happening in the days following, the days leading up to it right now, it's a little bit overwhelming for because of the so much fear-based energy. But the days afterward, I believe, are going to be like heaven on earth, just like it said in many different religious teachings. But heaven's probably a judgment word. It's going to be really
positive.
It's going to be positive and blissful and whatever we want it to be, but meant for many of us, we will still be doing our homework with bodies on.
Right, and over there, because I work as a part-time astral guide and I was a full-time one between this lifetime and the last, If people think that getting raptured means that you get a party all day long, we work really hard over there.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the I wish that suicide, people who contemplate suicide had a better understanding of how little happens when we die, or when our bodies go wet, you know, when we shed our bodies, because it's just a we were all sent on a unique assignment to learn and but also to teach, and things are much more difficult for people these days than they have been in many years in the past. But it's just such a wonderful opportunity to quantum leaps in learning. So I would urge people who are going through difficult times to try to find a way to, and I hate to use the word gratitude because it sounds so trivial, but to feel a sense of honor for being selected for the difficult assignment that they were given to teach humanity. Some of the ones where, especially those that involve the death of young children or a tragedy or suffering. But it's not bad decision making. It's an assignment. It's an assignment,
right,
to save the world, to save, you know, it was, you know, like, look at what Jesus got assigned. Look at what Jesus as the person, let alone, you know, got assigned to. That isn't, that wasn't so pleasant. And look at how that turned out, you know. So, you know, the next time I try to think, last year, it was right around Christmas time, and I met a homeless couple, and they thought that their situation, a lot of times we, our victimology, we just think our circumstances are so simple. And they were trying to get me to, like, you know, either they weren't give them a lot of money. They thought that their solution, that their whatever they were struggling with was going to be solved if, you know, financially. And I said to them, you know, it was Christmas, and I was at a homeless shelter feeding people, and I said, you know, Mary and Joseph were kind of in the same boat. Look at how that story turned out. So, you know, just, we don't have history. We're not here at the moment. We just, like, if we look at history, and we've fallen so far away from paying so much attention to history, but if you look at some of the great evolutionary shifts throughout history, none of them really happen with people sitting around having cocktails and sitting by the pool with an umbrella drink. They've usually involved some sort of perceived adversarial situation.
To make us stronger.
Make us stronger, teach us, teach others. And to heal the planet, it's a contribution to humanity. It's a contribution to humanity. Whatever's happening to you is much, much bigger than just you and your ego and your pride and things like that. But and that's what's going to be really exciting once the shift comes, because I think that a lot of these things that we just talk about as if they were happy thoughts are really going to become verifiable, sustainable truths, and not just random thoughts of crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say too that
a
lot of times people actually volunteer and they don't remember because we have that amnesia. But we go through these things and we're thinking, well, why me? Why me? Why me? And a lot of people would be surprised to know that they volunteered for the general path of their life.
I said there's a question in chat for Amy or for anybody here who wants to respond to that. Just ask the question.
Okay.
She said she wants to know what she's supposed to do with her horrible credit. She cannot get a job. She owes so much money. She cannot get a car. You have to get out of there first, okay? And actually, I'm going to take the first shot at this, and I'm going to borrow a saying that Tony has is like, the question is, what do you want to do with your horrible credit, not being able to get a job? It's like, you know, do you want to get rid of it? It's like, I know you can challenge, you know, physically speaking, you can challenge 3 items a month on your credit. You know, if you make sure that you pay your bills on time, you know, you get good credit. As far as cars, I know they have organizations that help people that are really destitute, you know, be able to, if you have a job you have to go to, they can help you get a vehicle. Otherwise, I know there's programs that help people with public transportation that, you know, you can at least get around and get to places. But that's my take on it. It's like, I know Tony would always say, you know, what do you want to do with it? Sit down, write your letter to the universe and say, here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to fix it. Here's how I'm going to be proactive. But that's my thought there. It's like, I'll let you guys take a chance on it.
Well, I mean, that's something that I, 5 years ago, I made like $300,000 a year, and I had 2 houses and a Mercedes convertible and lots of stuff. And I think the universe decided I was not a good steward of those things. And systematically, those things were removed from my life. I owe the IRS, you know, I don't want to just tell my tale of woundology, but the universe decided that I was not being a good steward of my money. First thing it's important to understand is your relationship with money. Treat money as sacred. We do not live in a society that does that. I went from my big fancy Mercedes convertible where everybody would ooh and ah and think I was just so special to buying a car that like my phones I couldn't keep working and I didn't have a car for 4 months. And you just chop wood and carry water that is part of your our society has gotten so into this woundology. Oh, I can't get a job because of this. I don't have a car. I don't have credit. I don't have any money. We come so from a sense of lack. First thing you need to do is get rid of that sense of lack and replace it with a sense of abundance. The universe is abundant. The universe will protect me. I can manifest whatever I need. And it's impossible to serve 2 masters at the same time. It's impossible to preserve that woundology and manifest all those things like credit and all that stuff in this as we proceed into this new place. Those words are going to be meaningless. I understand totally because I walked through it. It was shocking. It was embarrassing. And it took me a long time to get from...
Oh, you got some stuff going in the background.
Well, the person in the chat room is on right now, so I'm going to add her to the mix. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. You are on with us.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, good.
Very good. Is Amy on still?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
I understand what you're saying about the universe and, you know, reaching out and sending out what you want and that the universe is abundant. I'm aware of that. It's just I'm a realist and I look at the reality of things, and you know, not that I want to air anything about my credit or anything, but I owe a lot on student loans, and I owe over probably $100,000 in debt, and it's all actual debt because, you know, I created it. And when I say that I can't get a job, it's because they look at your credit for the job.
I had that situation. No, I mean, I don't want to discount your problem. I had the exact same. I walked through all that because that's what happened to me. I was getting a job at a bank. They weren't going to be able to hire me because of my credit, and I wasn't going to be a teller, and it was an administrative position. I would be far from the money. The rules need to catch up with the reality of the rules need to c- catch up with the reality
of the day, what's going on.
Of the day, and you're just going to have to be patient and vigilant. I don't mean to, like, discount your situation or, like, throw a bunch of sugar and cotton candy around it, because it is very real. I went, like I said, from this point of, you know, having lots of stuff to, I had no, my car was broken down. I had no money. I had, fortunately, I lived reasonably close to a hotel, and I don't look like a homeless person, because I would go to the hotel in the morning with a suitcase looking like I was checking out to eat their continental breakfast. And this was someone who had made $250,000 a year. And it can happen, and it's happening to more and more people, you know, and it's not from their fault of their own. It's not, you know, when you think of something like student loans, who would think that getting into a student, you know, it was, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories of how they encouraged us to get these things or anything like that. All I want to do is somehow assure you, and so that you can in your heart believe that it's going to work out, and because you're not alone. These realities are realities. You know, more, I know my employer, which is a very large employer, has had to change its policy because, you know, on credit and things like that. And it's Reuters, it's a huge company, because when plants shut down and, you know, NASA, I'm in Florida, NASA shuts down and, you know, astronauts are unemployed, people's credit are going to, you know, people's credit are going to suffer. So all we can do about it is, you know, do not be ashamed of your credit. Do not be ashamed of your situation, but don't use it as a, I learned this when I had breast cancer. I used breast cancer as my freaking, like, get out of jail free card. Oh, no, I have breast cancer. Oh, no, I didn't do that. I have breast cancer, you know. It was my dog ate the homework. So don't use it as, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. It is, you did not put yourself in the situation, and you're not alone. And it's all going to be, different soon. It's really all I can, you know, it's really all I can say is that, because so many people are suffering and they just think, oh, well, you know, the secret and abundance there and the laws of attraction and things like that don't work when I'm sitting on the side of the road. But they do. It's just we feel undeserving of the miracles when we're beaten down.
I can understand that. That makes a lot of sense. But, you know, this has been going on for over 3 years for me.
Oh, it's been going on for, it's been going for so many people, and it's just, it's horrible, and it's despicable, it's horrible and horrifying, and I'm just glad that you're still alive and that it hasn't, it's taken lives.
Yeah,
taking its toll on people's medical health, you know, people when you can't, you know, when there's just so much stress the body can absorb, it's taken its toll on marriages. It is a horrible plague that has taken over our society. And I feel so bad, because when I talk about, you know, how to overcome it, I just fear that I'm sounding, you know, like a hallmark, like something you put on your, like an affirmation you put on your wall, but I'm not. I'm telling you because it's what I did. And it was painful, and I really thought it was going, and my kids were embarrassed because they didn't understand. They were too young, you know, they're just in their 20s. They don't understand. They think it's a bad decision. You know, if my mother doesn't have money, but all my friends' parents still have money. My mother must be a fuck up, and it must be her fault.
Goodness.
But it's just, and that's the good news, is it's not going to be like that for much longer, because once we do make this shift, once this shift comes, things like this will make no sense. Things like this will be unacceptable, because it will be impossible for any of us to live where there's other people in a situation like you're in right now. But until then, you're just going to have to be strong and ask for help. I mean, you know, it was asking for help, you know, going to food, you know, whatever, these things that are supposed to be for poor people or for, you know, hobo.
Yeah, go to friends and agencies and, you know, see
agencies,
what you
find. Go reach out to churches, you know, reach
I've
out
been doing
to churches.
I've been doing this stuff,
so you've
and
been, yeah.
But you don't understand where I live. Where I live, they're not exactly so helpful, and I don't really understand it. I know it's a very rich community, but they do have like programs here to help you. But nobody really wants to go out of their way, and I don't understand it. Honestly, I really don't get it.
They don't want to go because they're afraid of. They're afraid it's contagious. And it is indeed contagious. And the further they can, I saw this happen to me with my friends and things like that. You would think that people would come around. You know, it was funny when I had something that they could deal with, like breast cancer, because there was a ribbon color for it. you know, and when I still had a Mercedes and two houses, people were sending me flowers and sending me food and sending me pink things. And then as the fallout from my illness and then my husband's subsequent illness and everything continued, and as the fallout continued and there was no ribbon for, there was no color there they could send me to cheer me up, because I could handle breast cancer, but they couldn't handle associated economic ruin because they thought that was contagious. So, and they didn't want to see it, and they didn't want to, you know, of course, so I couldn't afford the, you know, so I couldn't travel in those circles anymore, and the people became, you know, so that's it. They think that it is contagious, and it's worse in the wealthier communities, because in the wealthier communities, they were not used to things like that happening. We saw that they just weren't used to things like that happening, and you're just too painful of a
an eyesore.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's interesting in my particular set of circumstances, because now that other people are starting to lose their jobs and different things like that, instead of being an outcast, people are sort of looking to me like, wow, I can't believe you did that. I mean, you are, wow, you know. But I don't want to parade for, you know, but it's an important lesson. I'm really, really sorry you're having to, my heart just bleeds. I'm just so sorry that you have to endure that. I mean, it would be better if you were in, you know, in the communities where they're more used to those things, because in affluent communities, and this happened to me, they think it's somehow your fault. Should have gone to a cheaper college, should have lived in a cheaper house, you know, whatever. They think it's bad decision making, and just pray that those people lives, it's not like, oh, I hope it happens to you, but you sort of do. Because how else are they going to learn? Where will they get the compassion if it's not for walking in your shoes?
Absolutely.
True.
We've got about
60 seconds.
So just continue, you know, hold out hope. Continue to ask for help and speak your truth. Maybe not necessarily to the people who are isolating you or casting judge or, you know, have quarantined you, but, you know, be a voice, because for you, having the courage to share your truth and your reality, think of how many people are in your shoes that don't even have the courage to speak up. So I know you'll find your way. I just hope that you are spared discomfort, you know, that you're as comfortable and joyful, you can find as much comfort and joy as you can during this transition.
It's pretty hard.
It's pretty hard, but there still are moments of, there are people, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard, but you must be pretty special if this was what your assignment was. And I just hope I don't sound trivial when I'm talking to you about this, because it's scary. It's everything. It's everything. I'm almost, my eyes are sort of welling up trying to, as I recount what I walked through, but I know you'll be okay. Just try to find comfort and joy, even if it's as fleeting as a millisecond.
Even if what was a millisecond?
If your comfort and joy is just a millisecond long, take advantage of it.
That's kind of like what I'm going through. It's, I don't even know. I think there's an eviction coming up in the house, and I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go after that, other than maybe a homeless shelter.
Well, again, just continue to pray and ask for help. And I, in my gut, I don't feel like it's going to come to a home. I don't feel like it's going to come to a homeless shelter. In my gut, but you're going to have to continue to, you know, if the existing sources of help have dried up, you know, just find, you know, just find some new sources in the help. Just, you know, and tell your story, you know, tell your story to people who you think may be able to help you, and don't look at things as, you know, oh, I don't belong to that church. I mean, some of these churches that I personally am most fearful of because of what I perceive as their rhetoric and doctrine and things, when it comes down to one-on-one helping people, are amazing. So break down all your preconceived notions about who and how the help is going to come, and we will all pray for you. And I know you're going to make it, but I have a really strong, I mean, I get real strong feelings in my gut, and I get a real strong feeling that you're not going to be evicted, but that doesn't make it any less scary, because it's still a huge challenge.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
And we will. We'll be praying for, I mean it. I'm not just saying that like a Hallmark card. We'll all find our way.
Okay. Thank you so much. And you're saying the next year, at the beginning of the next year, the change is going to come?
For everybody. Your change is going to come quicker than that. Your particular situation is going to, turn around a little earlier. Also, one thing I would suggest right now, and I know we hardly have any time left, but this is an election year. And you're a smart woman. Try to figure out who some of the people who are running for office in your area are right here and right now, you know, between now and November, and go ask them for help, because your story is a common story. It's not like you have a bunch of Louis Vuitton purses in your closet because you ran up $100,000 in credit debt like the Real Housewives. You were going to, so reach out to people who are running for office. That's what I just got from Spirit. Reach out to people who are running for office. Tell them your story. Ask them to help you.
Okay. I mean, I'll try again, but I did actually reach out to people in the local government. And
reach out to people who are specifically running for office in the next 6 weeks.
And I never got a response.
Reach out again, find them when they're out. I mean, I'm just getting a strong message about that, because they could you're just going to have to, you know, you can't do everything. It's almost like, it's like Groundhog Day. Everything you did yesterday doesn't matter. You might have to do it over and over and over and over again. And it's difficult and it's embarrassing and it's humiliating. But I know you're going to find your way. I know it's going to turn around before this whole shift comes, but that's really part of the reason of the shift is we've just created an unsustainable life for all of humanity.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
So we'll pray for. I mean, I really, from the bottom of my heart, I.
Thank you, Amy.
Doing my prayers.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Linda.
Fine.
Thank you, Kelly.
All righty. Welcome.
Have a blessed day, ladies.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're running on borrowed time with this show, so you've been
here
the
entire Yeah, I clicked this off. I'm not sure if anybody can hear us.
I want to thank Amy and Kelly for being on today. Wonderful information and advice you gave, and loved your insights. But Psychics Gone Wild is on every day of the week, so be sure to hit that follow button, and that way you can follow and see when we're going to be on the next day and the next day after that. Love and light to everyone. And everyone have a great day and know that you're in charge of your destiny.